Amen. Wow. Just sitting here listening to all of that, please take your seats. Wow. It feels like with the words that 35-year words about digging and diamonds, and just felt like I said, even like how to interpret a tongue, right? It feels like a treasure hunt. I just felt God say, yeah, no, that is what I'm calling you to. I'm a holy God who likes to have fun. And I want to call you to a treasure hunt. And I just felt, maybe it's in response to Emma's word just there, but this is the beginnings of the treasure in the room. God has plenty more for us to find. It just feels very exciting, doesn't it? This is a journey that we're on together. We're figuring it out. And we'll stumble our way, you know, towards some clues, but I promise you there was some great treasure out there. It's exciting. Amen. Should we just take a moment? Let's just take a moment. God, we just still our hearts before you. And we still our spirits before you, because we are in awe of you. We're in awe of what you've done. It's almost like you've been sewing threads for years, and that's all we are. But actually, there is this rich tapestry that you're creating. It feels like, and today is just another one of those stitches. But we're excited by the picture that you're creating. We're privileged to be part of it. And Holy Spirit, we just invite you in the strongest possible way to continue to minister to us as we just seek you. We want to seek you through not just our worship and through you stirring up gifts in your church, but we want to meet with you through your words. We want to meet with you as we pray. So continue to do that, we ask, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Wow. I do feel a bit overwhelmed. This has been just a massive journey. If you just think about it, and I was reflecting on maybe how long it's actually been, certainly for me and Ems, but it's about 15 years, we reckon. We were driving down the A2 towards Canterbury, having already visited Portsmouth, simply trying to work out, God, where do you want us to be? And we had family in different places and friends in different places. But as we drove down the A2, we passed this road sign to this silly named place called Gravesend, right? We started chuckling, I did, because I was just like, I've never heard of a place like that before. Sounds interesting. So I started to explore a little bit about the meaning of the name. I'm not even going to go there because no one can agree on it. But the point is, something was seeded in our minds that day. And if you add the prophetic dream that Emma had, some very significant prophetic words from people who knew nothing about our situation, and then you throw some quite amazing provision into the mix as well, we thought, well, God is absolutely calling us to go to Gravesend. That's what we did. We moved to this place, and really, as soon as we arrived here, it was like God started, his sense of humor sort of fired up again and started speaking to us about the name. So I truly believe that day, maybe if you could flick it on, the man, I truly believe that day God spoke to us about the name Gravesend, and this is what we've really held on for 15 years, because it's like God said, I am going for many people to make sure this is the end of the grave for people. I am going to make this the end of the grave for many in this town, because I'm going to give them a hope that goes beyond the grave, that they don't know about yet. And do you know what? This thing kind of got hold of us, and we realized, you know, actually, if we reflect on it, this is why we're here. It's not just to worship, it's because we've got a hope that there is something beyond the grave. And we want to tell people about it, and this is a really supernatural thing as well. You see, because we aren't going to be a church who's just going to be good at apologetics, which basically means standing up for your faith and having lots of good logical arguments for the existence of God. It's good, but it won't be enough. Actually, we're not just going to be a church who wants to demonstrate the love of Jesus to people, because I'm convinced that's not going to be enough either. Do you know what? What we're praying for, and what we've kind of heard today already, is that we are after this kind of soul shaking, eternity gripping type of thing, to take hold of the lives of those around us in a supernatural way, in a way that we can't, so that they can discover the hope beyond the grave that can only be found in Jesus. Is that what you're living with when you reflect on who we're going to be as a church? And I believe this, by the way, £1 for every single time someone says the words this morning rather than this afternoon. I'm going to do it loads. Just go, ooh, each time I do it. So this afternoon, I believe the Holy Spirit is stirring us and wanting to shore us up in terms of what we've really been talking about already. He wants to stir our faith and remind us that we don't need to panic because he's already at work making some of this stuff happen, right? That's all I'm going to talk about. So if you want to follow along, go for it with your Bibles, phones or books, not a problem. We'll be in the New Testament in the book of Acts, and we're going to be around chapter 3 somewhere. So you might want to start at the top, but I'm going to make sure the words come on the screen. Here we go. So one day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said these quite famous words, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong, and he jumped to his feet and began to walk. And then from verse 11, it says, "Whilst the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnades. And when Peter saw this, he said to them, 'Look, fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Like, why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we made this man walk?'" And in verse 16, it says, "By faith in the name of Jesus, this man who you see and know was made strong." It is the name and the faith that comes, it's Jesus's name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. That's an exciting day, don't you think? It's pretty good stuff. But before we even scratch the surface of the supernatural, I don't want you to miss something that's super normal. Because this is a really super normal day. It said right at the top that it was 3 p.m. And where they were at 3 p.m., what people did is just walked to go and pray at the temple. This is what they did. It was a super normal day. But it was also a really super normal day for the guy. Because the lame man, essentially most of the days of his life, was carried to this location to beg. So for him, it was a super normal day, and he was doing a super normal thing. And do you know what? What a great place to beg. Because, hey, people heading towards a temple, it's going to be one of two things. They're either going to give out of their generosity, or they're probably going to give a little bit out of their guilt, right? But either way, this man is going to get something. It's probably something quite normal, money. And that's it. This is like the height of his hope. But you see, when you encounter God, you rarely get what you asked for, but it's always better than you dared hope for. This is this guy's story. So we hear that instead of ignoring this guy, probably a man who Peter and John have walked past many times, they might have spoken to him, but this time they actually stop. And they notice him. And they sense something is different about this time. God wants to do something. And they reflect, this man is asking for something that will make him happy. Yet Peter and John have something that goes beyond this man's imagination. So they say to this man, who's likely on the ground, he's lame, He's likely on the floor, and he will have his hands out. But it's likely that his head was down, because that is why Peter and John cry to him, "Look at us." It's like they're saying, "Lift your head." Because before anything else, they want to bring dignity to this man. They want to love this man. And they tap down their cloaks. "Look, my friend, silver and gold, I do not have. But what we have, we want to give to you." And something quite remarkable happens. I think as I look at these words, this says something extraordinary to us about what faith actually is. You see, when it comes to faith, it's important that we realize what we do have and what we don't have. Right, because we do have something, and it's really rather simple. What Peter and John have is purely natural. Purely natural. But what God has is supernatural. And it's as easy as that. We do not have supernatural powers. Right? As much as, you know, you get these mugs with a big D on it, you're the, you know, super dad and all this sort of stuff. It's nonsense at the end of the day. We haven't got supernatural powers. I've got no control over life, death, or the end of the grave. I don't. But I do have faith in the one who does have control over those things. I would therefore suggest to us this afternoon that I think faith is the most natural thing in the world. The most natural thing. And I think Peter would agree with me as well. Because if you look at what he says when their jaws are on the floor trying to work out what on earth has happened to this guy who's been begging every day here, and we see him all the time, why is he now grabbing hold of you and walking around, running, jumping, leaping, it says. And Peter just turns around, and what does he say? Why does this surprise you? And he's got a point. Just work it through logically. Is God all powerful? Yes. Is he all loving? Yes. Is he all knowledgeable and all present? Yeah? So why wouldn't you have faith for him to fix the things that he made? So that the man's healing shouldn't be the surprise for us. You know, our most natural response to God is in fact faith. Certainly a God like this. Which is why when you look at the Bible, it says even punchier stuff than this. Right, look, how about go to Hebrews? You don't have to turn there, but I'll bring the verse up. But Hebrews verse 6 of chapter 11 is so challenging. Because it says, it is impossible to please God without faith. Do you worry about how you please God ever? Or what satisfies him? God is laying this out, saying it's impossible to please me if you don't bring faith to the table. Anyone who wants to come to God must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. Church, I think this is one of the most challenging but also encouraging verses in the whole Bible. If I was to translate it, I'd probably say something like this. Right? From God's point of view, it makes no sense at all not to trust him 100%. That's how he's looking at the situation. Today isn't just our birthday. It's actually Austin, my son's birthday. He's 8, right? Which is fun. I think at some point, have we done a pass the parcel? We haven't, bad parents. But we are going to have some cake later with a lovely transformer on it. I think it's at home, but we do have cake for us, so don't panic. We're not going to miss out on the birthday. But the point is, it's a little bit like Austin sitting there worrying that he's going to get a birthday present from me, and then sitting there for 364 days constantly panicking that he's not going to get anything. It doesn't make any sense, because I'm not that much of a bad dad, although we have absolutely failed on the pass the parcel front, right? But if I'm at least a little bit good, how much more faith should we put in a father who's infinitely better than me? Ultimately, that is what faith is. Faith is trusting that God loves to show up for his kids. It's actually no more complex than this. And that's what Peter and John had, this expectation that God was going to show up, because God does show up again and again. And we've been hearing about it at the moment. It's like God has gone before us and he's put treasures there for us to find. He goes before us in situations and works beyond actually what we can see. I heard this story the other day about a man, and he was up in Bedford, one of our partner churches, and this guy was a total atheist, right? Didn't believe in God whatsoever. And one day he was walking to his girlfriend's house and he felt a hand on his shoulder. He turned around and there was no one there. Interesting. And then he heard a voice say, Psalm 110, verse 4. That was it. And he thought, that's weird. That is properly weird. So he continued walking to his girlfriend's house. And when he got there, he managed to find a Bible or look it up on Google or whatever. Psalm 110, 4. Do you know what it says? It says, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Right? Now, if you were God and you were going to audibly speak to somebody, would you choose the verse about Melchizedek? Yeah, John 3:16 is a proven classic. You see it in American football games, right? You see it everywhere. What has God up to? Started a research project in this man's life. Who is this Melchizedek man? And what does it mean that God doesn't change his mind? He got an itch that he just had to scratch. And actually what happened is that he ended up realizing that God doesn't change his mind when he calls someone and draws someone close. He's got irresistible grace. That guy gave his life to Jesus, and about 3 or 4 weeks ago, he got baptized up at the King's Arms in Bedford. How cool is that? It's amazing. Love it. Now, it's not always like that, is it? And some of you might be thinking, but it isn't like that, Q. Sometimes stuff happens in the kingdom of God, and sometimes it's like something isn't happening, even though I've prayed about it. And I just want to say to us this afternoon, I feel you and I get it. Because in my tiny little brain, I try and work this stuff out and sometimes I can't. But you see, the thing is, Jesus taught us about the kingdom of God. And he said that this tension between stuff happening and stuff not happening would happen. He said the kingdom of God had come, but he also said the kingdom of God has not come yet. Have you ever found that confusing? It's a little bit. Because there is this day coming when the grave will fully end. Right, there won't be any suffering. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more tears. It's going to be the most amazing day, but it isn't here yet. But we will get little tastes of the kingdom of God breaking out. Sometimes we'll get remarkable breakthroughs, but sometimes we won't. So we have to start to mature in our faith to hold some of these things in tension. And we see it in the Bible. I mean, we've just talked about quite an amazing thing that happened to Peter. And then some more amazing stuff happens to Peter. There's an angelic jailbreak, and he gets busted out. That's pretty cool, isn't it? But then his friend John is in prison, and he gets beheaded. Why did the disciples pray for some people and they are healed from the sick and set free, and other people just aren't? You know, I've seen remarkable things. I've seen people's legs grow in front of my eyes as they've been prayed for healing and they've been straightened out. Literally grow. I think the longest one was nearly 3 inches and I saw it move. 7 people in a row. I've seen people cured of the most tricky sort of illnesses, extreme allergies. Someone, it was like a latex rubber issue. If they touched it, it would destroy their body. But they were completely healed from it. Yet today, my sister is dying of cancer and she hasn't been saved yet. Those two things are really hard to hold in tension, aren't they? And I'm sure you are all sitting there with those things. So what do we do with this tension? Well, I look at this story and I just pull out one thing, which is by faith in the name of Jesus alone, this man whom you see and know was strong. We all get a decision in life about where we put our hope. I cannot find another hope other than Jesus for change. In my life, but also in the life of those around me, I cannot find another thing. And I just think, do you know what? If we're going to see the grave end for many, we just need to put our unwavering hope in this name. And we're going to see setbacks, guys. We're going to see difficult things. But I also think the only way that we're going to see the kingdom break out is to put our hope in this name. Do you like talking about faith? Yeah? It stirs us a bit. It might confuse us a bit. I love hearing stories about faith. But sometimes, you know, when you're in a situation, you get fired up. You know, that's a great story we've heard just then. But you can get in these situations, and when you suddenly become face-to-face with an opportunity, you get a little bit lightheaded and worried. Do you ever get like that? I do. You know, when somebody says, oh, I've got a sickness, or asks you about your weekend, what did you do on Sunday? Or, you know, someone reveals they're going through a particularly hard thing, all of a sudden, it feels like there were two doors that open up in front of us. Right? One's called faith, and one's called fear. Do you ever feel like that? I had one of these moments this week. Right? I actually came here to the school through those doors over there, and I was here to sign the contract with Shears Green so that we could be in here. It hasn't actually been signed yet fully. But the point is we're here. But I came through those doors, and as I was filling my name in to get my visitor badge, there was a young girl there who had one of these chairs. And she held it up like this, and she was banging it straight on the glass like that. Bang. Bang. And I looked at her, and I thought, my goodness. Because I wasn't bothered about the banging. I could see a lot of brokenness in her. I could see a lot of anger. I could see a lot of confusion. And I think, actually, you know, this is what happens in our schools. So anyway, I was kind of shepherded around in her and everything, and I just kept thinking about it. And then when I was led to the facility manager's office, as I sat down, I felt God say, as clear as day, offer to pray at this school. Well, I looked at the two doors, and I said, God, you're joking. I said, the contract's not signed yet. Don't we talk about the weird prayer stuff after the contract's signed? Which one of those doors is speaking in that moment? Right. I just had to say, we're not here to walk through that door. We're here to stand on the faith that we got, because it's the only thing that makes sense. So I said to him, look, we'd love to be more than a tenant in this school. Do you know what? We were at a previous school, and they just had so many troubled kids. We offered to pray once a week in that school, just for an hour, and we came in and we prayed. And we saw some amazing changes happen. We believe that prayer works. Do you think it's the sort of thing that I could speak to the head about? Do you think it's a good idea? Absolute silence. Absolute silence. I didn't know what he believed. I was expecting the next noise to hear was this, as the contract just ripped up in front of me, as the ground swallowed me. Then he spoke. Do you know what he said? He said, God has been excluded from many schools, but his presence has never left. And he said, I think it's a great idea. He had more faith than me. I didn't even know it. Isn't that amazing? The things that we discover when we look at those two doors, and instead of going through the pink one, we go through the blue one. Because that's the thing on the other side of the door. That's where God can meet us. He says, look, trust me and go through this one. We've got a community fun day coming up next weekend. And I think a lot of us are going to be faced with this. we've got an opportunity to get to know our neighbours and have some fun and hang out with our community. And also we've got an opportunity to just slow down a bit like Peter and John did, and say, right, God, is there a moment here that you want us to be involved with? God's already working on people, isn't he? I don't know if he's using Melchizedek. He might be. But God is working on people. He's going to put people in our path, but we just need to be willing to kind of put our neck on the line a little bit. But as we do, we will discover the supernatural power of God is waiting for us as we step forward in faith. Amen? And do you know what? If we let this kind of faith grow in us and flow through us, I think we'll get two things. I think we'll either get the breakthrough we're praying for, or we'll discover the perseverance to cope if the miracle hasn't quite happened. And as I reflect on this story, I just think the world is not asking for this. They're after something really, really normal. But it's not what we deal with. It's not what we're offering. We might not have silver and gold, but what we have, we need to give to people. So I just want to give us an opportunity now to walk through a door of faith. Somewhere in this building, it's not a treasure hunt. I've just misplaced them. But somewhere in this building are some tags that we're going to fill in. And these tags are prayer tags that we're going to have on a prayer wall that we're going to get out quite often here on a Sunday afternoon. But we're also going to have it at the Community Fun Day because we want to pray for people. We want it to be a really normal thing that we do. It just might be a bit supernatural. But we want God to do some stuff. And I want to challenge us to write some stuff down that you want God to do. You know, would it be, God, I'd love you to save my friend. I'd love you to heal this sickness. I'm praying to be able to pray for somebody for healing and for someone else to come to faith through that at the Community Fun Day. Who knows what could happen if we decide that? But here's the key bit. Whatever you write down, I believe God wants to challenge us to take an opportunity to mature in our faith and say, as I put pen to paper, Lord, I am deciding I'm going to be part of the answer to this prayer. I'm willing to be involved. I'm deciding now, ahead of time, that I'm going to go through the door of faith, not the door of fear. Because I want to see you at work. I want to see you doing stuff. I want to be involved. I don't just want other stories up in Bedford, which are great and we're stirred by them, but you've got to do some stuff here because you said you would. So it is such a strong invitation to us to get involved with what God's doing. And I think when we have faith like that, it's impossible not to please God, right? What do you think? Have you got something that you want to write down? Have we miraculously found them? Have you got any pens though? Oh, kids' work will have loads. Do you fancy getting some? Well, you might have some pens kicking about. We might finish with a song or something in a bit. But I'd love us to take these tags and write down stuff that you want God to do. I think we're going to see some cool answers to prayers, so get specific. Right, you might not want to put names on there, but feel free to, because we're going to refer to these a lot. We're going to pray over these over the weeks ahead. But particularly looking at that Community Fun Day, well, this is the opportunity. What is the door of faith that you're going to try and walk through as God gives opportunity? So let's spend a few minutes doing that. And once you've written something down, maybe with the person next to you, why don't you start asking God for this?